Okay, the last line in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, the Ramah writes in Sinatah Fresh Chav Dalid that Amedaktikim Askilim Yad V'Matzoy Yom HaKippurim Basiyas HaSukkah Kedei Lotzis V'Mitzvah El Mitzvah. Quotes from the Maharil that it's considered a dikdik in mitzvahs. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean? Maschilim Basiyas HaSukkah means you should build the whole sukkah if it's possible. Or one should at least start to build the sukkah Matzoy Yom Kippur. We know that there are two different parts to the union of sukkah. One is Asiyas HaSukkah, one is Yeshiva B'Sukkah. The Asiyas HaSukkah is only a Hechshem Mitzvah. That's like buying a lulav and tying up the lulav with the hadassim and the aravos. And sitting in the sukkah, that's like shaking the lulav. That's the actual mitzvah itself. The Netziv points out that because, this is his interpretation, because Asiyas HaSukkah is a Hechshem Mitzvah, HaKosa Batar, it's not basically only a Hechshem Mitzvah. The actual mitzvah is the yeshiva b'sukkah. Because it's a hechshem mitzvah, hakasa batar, it's mentioned in the Chumash with special dinim, so therefore we treat the asiyas hasukkah, the building of the structure, with the status of a semi-status of a mitzvah. We treat it a little bit like a mitzvah. What do you see treated like a mitzvah? So first of all, there's a Rashi in Makis and Davches, which all of the Achranim quote. Rashi seems to imply that mitzvah bo yesmin b'shluchai applies to Asiyas HaSukkah. Would you say mitzvah bo yosim b'shluchai to buy a lulav? Probably not. To tie up the lulav? Probably also not. Why would you say mitzvah bo yosim b'shluchai? And bedikas chametz, that's the mitzvah itself. So the Gemara says mitzvah bo yosim b'shluchai bedikas chametz. You say brocha on the bedikas chametz. But in the hechshem mitzvah, you don't say brocha. So the pashtus is, that mitzvah bo yesh mishlucha shouldn't apply to asiyas hasukkah. So Rashi seems to say in Makkos that it does apply. So the Netziv says that's because this is a hechshem mitzvah higher level than other hechshem mitzvah. This is a hechshem mitzvah kasa bater. Then he says number two, the Netziv says that tying on tzitzis is also a hechshem mitzvah kasa bater. It says v'osu lahem tzitzis. The Chumash talks about tying the tzitzis. Tying the tzitzis is just the hachana. If you tie the tzitzis, you leave it in the drawer, you're not yotzei anything. Mitzvah is to wear the beged with the tzitzis on. So tying the tzitzis per se is only a hashem mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, if someone is tying tzitzis, we apply the rule of oisik b'mitzvah, patam and ha-mitzvah. Why is not oisik in a mitzvah? So the Netziv claims that if it's a hashem mitzvah, kos b'torah, it has the semi-status of a mitzvah with respect to specific detailed dinim. So he says, Oisik mitzvah, patam and ha-mitzvah is one of those. Then he quotes one opinion from the Gemara in Menachos that when one ties on the chutei atzitzis on the beged, one says a bracha, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al asiyas tzitzis. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that we don't paskin like that. One of the Amoraim was tying tzitzis and he was muttering under his breath the bracha. So the other Amora said, what do I hear? What are you pronouncing? Tzitzit. What are you saying? What are you saying? A bracha. So he says, yeah, saying a bracha on the tying of the tzitzit. He says, no. Only called mitzvah shasiyosi hi gemar mitzvah sa mevarchim aleha. The asiyas ha-tzitzit is not gemar mitzvah. So the gemar mitzvah is when you wear it. So we pass on the maskanos ha-gemar, you don't say a bracha. But there was one opinion that you do say a bracha. And then it's two quotes that in the Talmud Yerushalmi, there's one opinion that when you build the sukkah, you say a bracha, not shechyanu. That says in the Bavli that you say shechyanu. When you build a sukkah, it's like hakoina bayis chodesh, like building a new house. They say shechyanu. That's not because the shechyanu al pi pashtus. That's what the Ramach writes. We have hasogas haraivit on the Ramam, then we have other rishonim hasogas haramach on the Ramam. So the Ramei Rakoin, I think Ramoshe Hakoin. So the hasogas haramach al Rambam, he writes that the shechyanu that the Gemara speaks of b'shas asiyas hasukkah, that's like oisa bayis chodesh liyatzma. If you make a little dog house, then you don't say shachyan. If you buy underwear, you don't say shachyan. Only if you buy a beged chashuv, or you build a bayis chashuv, then you say shachyan. So a sukkale, even though it's only for 7-8 days, because you use it for a mitzvah, so that gives it chashivas, and that's why you say shachyan. So that's all it says in the Bavli, that you say shachyan, while asiyas hasukkah, and the Ramach says it's not so much because of the mitzvah. The mitzvah accomplishes that the sukkah is a dover chashuv, so you say shachyanu like a oisa bayis chadosh liatzma. But the Yerushalmi quotes one opinion that you say the bracha abichas hamitzvah al asiyas hasukkah. Parallel to what the Bavli quoted, that there was one opinion that was rejected that you say bracha al asiyas hatzitzis. So again, we don't accept this opinion, but since there is such an opinion, that's based on the fact that the Asiyas HaSukkah is a Hechshem Mitzvah Kosa Bater. Then the Netziv has a third Nafkemina Ledina, has one Nafkemina for Brichas HaMitzvah, one Nafkemina Ho'isik Mitzvah Potam and HaMitzvah, the third Nafkemina has been geared to Mitzvah Bo Yosem and Beshluch, and then he has a fourth Nafkemina, if you have a Hechshem Mitzvah Kosa Bater. So he says, there's a Mishnah in Shavuos. What is a Shva Shav? What is a Shva Sheker? So an example of a Shva Shav is a Nishba Levatel Es HaMitzvah. A person swears he's not going to eat matzah on Pesach night, not going to listen to Tkiyah Shofar. So you don't have, you're not a balabos on yourself to take such a Shva. So the Shva is not binding, and that's called the Shva Shav. Nishba Levatel Es HaMitzvah. So the Mishnah gives, the Lashon of the Mishnah verbatim is, he takes a Shva, Suke She'eni Osa. It doesn't say Suke She'eni Yoshev. He didn't take a Shva, he's not going to sit in the Sukkah. It sounds like Sukkah Sheni Yosef. So you could say that that's what he means. I'm not going to do the mitzvah, like we say in English. I'm not going to do, perform. Probably should say I'm not going to perform the mitzvah. So in poor English, you say I'm not going to do the mitzvah. So it could be that that's what it means. Sukkah Sheni Yosef. I'm not going to do the mitzvah. Whereas that is, in Hebrew, you don't say it like that. Al asiyas mitzvah. Asiyas, maybe you do say it like that. So the Netziv translates the words of the Mishnah literally. Sukkah Sheni Yosef, he's swearing he's not going to construct a sukkah. But that constitutes it. What's so bad? So let someone else construct a sukkah. His children will build a sukkah and he'll sit in the sukkah. Why is that Nishbal about the Sam Mitzvah? So he says, because it's a Hechshem Mitzvah, Kosa Batorah, and he say Mitzvah Bo Yosef and Bishluchas, and really more correct is that he should build the sukkah himself. So if he swears that he's not going to build the sukkah, that's also called Nishbal about the Sam Mitzvah. That's a Chiddush. The Netziv has a few examples. What do you have? Hechshem Mitzvah Kos Matar. So he says, the Yosalahem Tzitzis al Kantavig name, tying of the Chutiyat Tzitzis. He thinks that that's Mitzvah Bo Yosem Abishluch. He says it's preferable, if you know how to tie Tzitzis and you have time, it's preferable to buy Chutim in a Beged from the store and tie the Chutim on yourself rather than to buy a ready made Beged. We wouldn't say Mitzvah Bo Yosem Abishluch to make the Beged or to make the strings of the Tzitzis. To do the spinning of the wool to make the strings, that's a Hechshem Mitzvah Sheni Kosa Batorah. But on the tying of the Chutim onto the Beged, that's a Hechshem Mitzvah Kosa Batorah. So he says there, he would think that that's a Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha. He says further, Uchsavtam al mezuzahs beisecho o visharecho. There's no mitzvah to write a mezuzah. It doesn't help. You can write a million mezuzah. If you don't hang it up on the door, you're not yotze. So if you buy a mezuzah, you're hanging up, you are yotze. So he still thinks that since the Loshon HaChumash, the Loshon HaTorah, Zuchsavtam al mezuzahs, Beisech v'sharecha, so if one has the ability to write his own mezuzah, we should say Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha, rather than to write a ready-made, to purchase a ready-made mezuzah. If he can buy the parchment from one person and the ink from another person, we wouldn't say he should make the parchment himself and he should make the ink himself. That's Hechshem Mitzvah Sheinu Kosa Bater. But the actual ksiva itself, he thinks that the din should be over there also Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha. Where does it say in the Chumash that he's supposed to make a sukkah? It never says in this Chumash. It says V'yosel lahem tzitzis l'kavivik neim. It talks about tying the chutiyat tzitzis. It says V'chsavtam al mezuzah beisecha v'sherecha, writing the mezuzah, save Torah Tefillah mezuzah. Where does it say that you construct a sukkah? So al pipshuta shel mikra there is no pasuk. But the Chazal had a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh where they gave an additional level of interpretation. The pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah stasa l'chol shivas yomim l'Hashem ba'osbucham b'garnacham b'yikvecham. Any Balkari here? So it says approximately like that. So the simple translation of the pasuk is, Chag HaSukkah stasa l'chol l'Hashem elokecha. You should celebrate the holiday, the festival of Sukkot for a duration, shivas yom, for a duration of 7 days. And when, what season of the year should you celebrate? At the ingathering season. So that's the pshuto shal mikra. That is clearly the pshat and the pasuk. But in addition to the pshuto shal mikra, the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Leave out the first word for a moment, and you read the pasuk sukkah tasa l'cha. You should construct a sukkah. And the Gemara's medayik tasa v'leimen asui. You have to do dafke and asiya on the sukkah. If it's tasa v'leimen asui, it'll be possible. So the Mishnah in the first parak in Sukkah gives an example. Hachotet begodish. The farmer has a ton of hay, and it's all piled up, a gigantic pile. Then somebody crawls in on the bottom of the pile of hay, and he starts picking out a cavity inside the middle of the hay in such a way that he has a cavity of zayin al zayin begova asara tfochim, and he has tchach on top, and he has tfanas on the side. All the hay that he didn't pick out is still standing there. So on the four sides, those are the tfanas, and the floor is the floor, and then whatever hay he left on top, that'll serve as the schatz. And the Mishnah says that that's possible. Achotet begodish lasis lesuka is possible because tasav leminos. The Ramah has a chumrah that if you put up the schach before you put up the tfanis, that's also a violation of tasav leminos. You have to first put up, because the din of tasav leminos, the Gemara says, only applies to the tfanis. Doesn't apply to the schach. Doesn't apply to the schach. Excuse me. The other way around. The din of tasav leminos, the Gemara says, only applies to the schach and doesn't apply to the tfanis, because sukkah is tasalcha, the word sukkah means schach, the word sukkah doesn't mean that the tfanis are called tfanis. Why is the schach called schach? Because sochachim ala kaporis means something that gives shade. So the schach gives shade, so that's why sukkah is, Rashi writes on the first Mishnah, sukkah is nikra sukkah al shem the schach, that it's mesach, that it gives shade. So the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk is sukkah is tasalcha, you should construct sukkah, it really goes on the schach. And that's what the Ramo says, that first you should put the tfanis and then you put the schach on top. A lot of times they find it easier to put the schach up first and then to put the tfanis around it. So the Ramo says you should be machmer not to do like that. There's a chloikis in the Meforshim on Shulchan Aruch whether this Ramo has to be taken seriously even by the Eved, the sukkah may be possible. Oh, no, the whole Ramo is only lachatchila. That's not really a tasav lemonosim. Because it seems to be a lot of Gemaras, but the Gemara in different places seems to be talking about someone who put up the schach before he put up the tfanis. So at least lachatchila v'choshish for this. And some of the Mefarshim even want to say that even b'di eved should be possible. That you have to dafki put up the tfanis first and then the schach. Because the schach is what has the din of tasav leman asui. So putting up the schach should be the final touch that's maksha the sukkah. So the pasuk continues. Sukkah tasa l'cha, you should construct the sukkah tasa v'lamenosin on the schach. Shivas yomim, the sukkah should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. If the sukkah is going to, I know the sukkah is going to collapse in the middle of sukkah. So even the first day, I know it's going to last for a couple of days, but I know it's going to collapse in the middle. So the Mishnah says, you're not even yotzei sukkah the first couple of days when it was still standing. If it's not a sukkah rui, l'kol shiva, then it's not acceptable. And then when it continues to, the pasuk says, that's the season of the year, the ingathering season of the year when you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot. So the Gemara says no. In this additional level of interpretation, it means the schach should be consist of solus goran v'yekid. Is referring to the material that you should use when you do the asiyas ha-sukkah, namely when you put up the schach. So, but the question is, how can you give it an additional level of interpretation? But the word chag doesn't fit in. So the Gemara says, no, the word chag means korban chagiga. And even when you say chag amatz, chag ha-shavuot, chag ha-sukkah, it's a loshen mushal. We refer to the shalosh regalim as a chag because it's a yontav on which you bring a korban chagiga. You wouldn't refer, in biblical Hebrew, you wouldn't refer to Chanukah as a chag. You wouldn't refer to Purim as a chag. In modern Hebrew, we say chag Purim. And Chag Ha'urim, Chanukah, Chag Asmicha, no one's bringing any Korban Chagiga. In Biblical Hebrew, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, Biblical Hebrew, Shmini Atzeres is never referred to as a Chag, because you don't offer a Korban Chagiga. So the Ramah says in Davening, the Ramah assumes that the Nusach of the Tefillah Davening is supposed to be recited in Biblical Hebrew, not in modern Hebrew. So since in Biblical Hebrew, Shmini Atzeres is never referred to as a Chag, so when you daven on Shmini Atzeres, you should say Yalav Yova B'Yom Shmini Hu Atzeres Hazeh. You shouldn't say on Shmini Chag Hu Atzeres Hazeh, because Shmini Atzeres is not a Chag. That's what the Ramos says. It happens to be in disagreement with all the Bali Atesis. Rashi and Tesis, they all say, you say Yom Shmini Chag Hu Atzeres Hazeh. So that's a problem. But the Ramos writes like that. The Ramos thinks that the Shmini Atzeres is not called a Chag. The Mishnah says in the Dorim that bin the Dorim Halacha Achaloshim Adiyodim. So if a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat any candy bars until after the Chag is over. So the Mishnah says it means till after Shmini Atzeres is over, because in Loshim Adiyodim, Chag includes Shmini Atzeres. So the Taz and Hilchas Sukkah writes that it doesn't show that the Ramah is not right. The Ramah is talking about Nusach HaTfilah. Nusach HaTfilah has to be in a biblical Hebrew. And then the Mishnah in the Nedarim is talking about V'Nedarim Halach HaChalosh Adam. How do people refer to it? People call Purim Achag, they call Hanukkah Achag. So why shouldn't they call Shmini Atzeres Achag? Halosh Adam Shmini Atzeres is Achag. So if it takes a net and not to eat any candy bars, not to eat any cookies till after the Chagim, so it means after Shmini Atzeres. It doesn't mean after Sukkot, it's after Hoshana Rabbah. But in biblical Hebrew, it's not called a chag. So that's what the Gemara says. The word chag really means the chagos moso chag l'Hashem. Doesn't mean you should celebrate it as a holiday. The chagos moso chag l'Hashem means you should offer a korban chagiga, shalmi chagiga, the beis hamikdash. So here the pasuk says chag asukas tasalacha shivas yomim. So the Gemara interprets sukas tasalacha. You should construct the sukkah. But the word chag is there. How can you interpret that the pasuk goes on asiyas on sukkah? Mara says, yeah, the sukkah is referred to as a chag. It's a hyphenated expression. Chag ha-sukkah is that a sukkah is hukish l'chag. Just like a korma chagiga is also ba'anoa, so too the sukkah is hukse l'mitzvosai. That if you have a sukkah that was used for the mitzvah, hukse l'mitzvosai, so you're not allowed to take, let's say a person got some bone stuck in his teeth, and he needs a toothpick and he can't find one, so he's going to take some of the schach, rip it off, and use it as a toothpick. So the Gemara says that that's a violation of hukzin and mitzvahs. Not allowed to use the schach for some other purpose. That happens to be a machlek is the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam writes that hukzin and mitzvahs applies not only to the schach, even applies to the tvanis. Because you need everything in order to fulfill the mitzvah. And the Rosh says, what do you mean? The whole marker for hukzin and mitzvahs is this pasuk. Chag asukas tasa l'chal shivas yomim. And the Gemara says that tasa v'lam and asa only applies to the schach, doesn't apply to the tvanis. So the din asiyah chag asuk stasa l'cho only goes on the schach. So why should you say that the chag hukish l'chag should apply even to the tfanas? Should only apply to the schach. Rab Chaim in his sefer on the Rambam comes to explain why did the Rambam think that huktim mitzvahs even applies to the tfanas? Either Rosh is right. The word sukkah only refers to the schach. Tfanas are never referred to as a sukkah. So the Rab Chaim writes in his sefer, simple. We have a din that the esrig is hukzin mitzvasa. You're not allowed to eat the esrig shal mitzvah. The hadasim are hukzin mitzvasa. Where does it say that the esrig and the hadasim and the talus is hukzin mitzvasa? And the beis haknesses, the Ramban says, is hukzin mitzvasa. All tashmish and mitzvah, bizman mitzvasam, you're not allowed to use it for some secular purpose. So what is the source of this whole institution of hukzin mitzvasa? So the source is this pasuk. We learned that in Mamatzina from the pasuk by Sukkah. If the din of Huktan Mitzvah would have only applied to Sukkah, then the Rosh would have been right. The only part of the Sukkah that's referred to as a Sukkah is the Schach, that Tfanas are not referred to as a Sukkah. Tfanas are necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, but what is a Sukkah is only the Schach. But we assume, based on a Mamatzinu, that the Huktan Mitzvah Allah is not restricted only to Sukkah. It applies to Tzitzis, and it applies to Beis HaKnesses, and it applies to the Shofar, Bizman Mitzvah, and it applies to the Esrei. Into Hadassim. So the Tfanis of the Sukkah, like Gorach and other Tashmishi Mitzvah. The Tfanis are something that's necessary to enable me to fulfill a mitzvah. So Huktzin Mitzvah would apply. That's apparently the Shita Saramba. I'll call upon him. That's the pasuk that the Nitziv is referring to. Chaga Sukkah Stasa Lachal Shivas Yomim Lashem Beosbacham Megornacham Yikvecha. So the Pshut Rishon Bikur refers to celebrating the holiday of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days at this season of the year. And according to the additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shebaal Peh gives, the whole pasuk is also, the Pshut Rishon Bikur is accepted. Right? Eina Mikra Yetzim De Pshuta, the Pshut, they certainly accept it. The Gemara said there's only one pasuk in the whole Chumash where Amikra Yetzim De Pshuta. But the Pshut Rishon Bikur doesn't mean a thing. Anybody remember? Gemara says in the second pair of Yivamis, the Pshut Rishon Mikra doesn't mean a thing. It's not that you name the first baby after the one who died, it doesn't mean that at all. The whole pasuk is just for drushes. But all the other psukim, we say the Pshut Rishon Mikra is certainly accepted. And in addition to the Pshut Rishon Mikra, we also have additional levels of interpretation. That's what the Nitziv thinks. He thinks you only apply mitzvah by Yosem B'Shluchai to actual mitzvahs or to Hechshe mitzvah HaKosah B'Torah. And then he thinks that Asiyas HaSchach, Anochas HaSchach, that's a Hechshe mitzvah HaKosah B'Torah. But putting up the Tfanis is not. That's not a Hechshe mitzvah HaKosah B'Torah.
Regarding the Tfanis, the Rambam the Hilchos Shavuos, you don't say that if Rosh HaChazal has intended to push the cross. So how does the Mitzvah say that Rosh HaChazal is?
I don't know. Nishba lavar ala mitzvah, nishba levatel asan mitzvah. So the Ran says if it's only a drush of Torah Shabbal Peh, like Chatzi Shir, so that's not called the nishba levatel asan mitzvah. So why is it over here? I don't know. It's a very good question. Where do you draw the line? When do you treat Torah Shabbal Peh differently from Torah Shabbal Chsav? When do you treat it the same? The Prima Godim has a psicha kolelis, it's called the psicha kolelis la'orachayim. It's really a misnomer, it's really a psicha kolelis to Torah Shabbal Peh. So that's what he starts off with. When are the differences between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh? When do we treat Torah Shebal Peh differently? When do we treat it the same as Torah Shebichsav?
And would the Rambam be more the, like, let's say the fourth wall doesn't have to be hooked on the Tosa because it's really only three?
Could be. That's a good question. The Rabbein Tam and Tosas says like that. That whatever is really extra, whatever is not needed for the mitzvah, so you don't say hooked in the mitzvasa. Not exactly. The Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbeinu Tam understands that they're two different concepts. He says that hooked in the mitzvasa is one concept, and chal shem shemayim al asuk is a different concept. The Rabban says, what do you mean? It's all the same thing. The Gemara learns it off in the pasuk, kishem shachal shem shemayim al achagige, kal chal shem shemayim al asuk, that's the drosha. Chag asukas, that asuk is hooked shalachag. And the Gemara calls it, refers to that as hooked in the mitzvasa. And from that pasuk we establish, we learn out Esreg into Hadassim into Beis HaKnesses to Kol HaTorah Kula. That's how the Ramban writes in a few places, in Megillah and Shabbos, but Sukkot. But the Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam, he understands that the separate inyanim. Hooked in the mitzvasa is one inyan, and Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah is another inyan. So he says Chal Shem Shemayim Ala Sukkah is only on the bare minimum that was needed. So if you're going to have extra schach, let's say the schach is twice as thick as is needed, it would have been sufficient with half the amount of schach. So he says there's no din deraisa of chal shem shamayim ala sukkah in the extra schach. What do you mean the extra schach? How do you decide which is the extra schach? What do you mean he sat in the sukkah already, and then he added on more schach later? Well, no, before he sat in the sukkah, so there's no chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. It says in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, Hazman Alav Milsini. So if you construct a sukkah with all the kavanas and everything, but you never sit in the sukkah, so it's not hooked in the mitzvah. It's not going to be Chal Shem Shemayim. So if you sit in the sukkah, so who is to distinguish? It depends which walls he put up first. The first three walls that he put up, those were needed. The fourth wall was not needed. Who cares which one was put up first? At the time that he sits in the sukkah, you have four walls and you have a ton of schach. The Rabbi Natam seems to understand. That's what Doruch Laner asked that question on the Rabbi Natam and the Tosis in the first parak in Sukkah. The Doruch Laner says he does, from the according to Rabbi Natam, doesn't seem to make a difference which walls were put up first and which stach was put up first. He holds that the din deraisa, that chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, only means you're not allowed to be mevatlet in mitzvasa. You can take on as much of the sukkah as you want, as long as what you have left is still a sukkah. What you took down is no longer a sukkah. It's used as toothpicks. So you're going to use it as a fuel for the fire. It's cold. So he has a ton of schach. So he's going to take down half of the schach and throw it in the furnace in order to keep himself warm. So the Rabbein and Tam and Tosis says that's only a din de rabbanon. Muktzeh the mitzvah. Muktzeh. Muktzeh is only the rabbanon. So Rabbein and Tam says muktzeh the mitzvah is muktzeh. It's only the rabbanon. The Ramban says no. Muktzeh is the rabbanon. That's other kinds of muktzeh. But muktzeh the mitzvah is learned that from the pasuk. Kishem shachal shem shemayim ala chagiga, kachal shem shemayim ala suk. The Rabbein and Tam holds not so. Hukta the mitzvasa is mukta, and mukta is only the rabbanon. He learned it out from a pasuk, so he says a different dinah. The din derais of chal shem shemayim ala suk, it means you shouldn't remove so much from the sukkah that it no longer retains the status of a sukkah. You can take down as much as you want, doesn't matter what was put up first, what was put up second. Take down as much as you want, as long as after you finish pulling down, you still have a heksha sukkah left. And it's only with the Rabbanan that we say huktzin mitzvasa, that all of it is huktzin mitzvasa. That's where Rabbeinu Tam makes that distinction.
I mean, how does it make sense in Sfar to have a pasuk that's yosim in the pshuta? Why don't the Torah just write
Very strong kasha. I don't know. That's a very strong kasha.
Are you in a plain reading of Bahaya, but a traditional level of interpretation that you can read the Pshat as the additional level of interpretation and the Drash as being the Ikar.
But there is no such halacha. You don't have to name the baby after the man who died. I think the Mefarshim said the reason why the Gemara was so convinced that the Pshut HaShamik was not accepted because the Pshut HaShamik doesn't read straight. He's not a brother. The baby who's born is not a brother of the man who died. He's a brother of the Yavam. So maybe that's what it means. I don't know. So the Rishonim say, no, the Pasuk doesn't read straight. He can't say, Oviv. The one who died is not his father. The one who died is not the mother. The one who died is not the brother or the father of the baby. He's the uncle of the baby. The baby is the son of the Yavam. So the one who died is the uncle. So why do you say, it sounds like the Ochid Hameis is the brother of the baby who was just born. So that's what the Rishonim say. That's why the Gemara was so convinced that there's no Pshut HaShamik. So you're right. Why is it written like that? I don't know. It's a very good question. Because that is the Pasuk that the Tanoim have a tradition. There's an additional level of interpretation. That Pasuk is talking about Asiyas HaSukkah. So this led to a big machlokes b'shama and b'shilo. So it says, Chag HaSukkah Tasa Lecho, Shivas Yom, Tasa Lecho. And it goes on Asiyas HaSukkah. It goes on Hanochas Haschach. The Asiyah Tassulam and Asi goes on the Hanochas Haschach. So what does it mean? Chag Sukkos Tassel Lecho. What does the word Lecho mean? For example, it says Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazayis Lamdas Bnei Yisrael Sima Bifia. So again, to the two levels of interpretation in that pasuk also. The Pshut Hashem Nikra, Kodesh Baruch is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Yeshua, and he tells them Kisva Lachem Es Hashira Hazayis. Write down Shiras Hazino, and then transmitted to Bnei Yisrael, then delivered the Nebuah to Bnei Yisrael. That's the Pshut HaShem Nikra. It's referring to Ksivas Parshas Hazino in the Sefer Torah. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in that Pasuk, that the Chumash is speaking to every Jewish man. That every Jewish man has, throughout all the future generation, has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, Mitzvah B'Yazim B'Shluchai, or if he's too busy running around making money, so he should commission a Sefer to write the Sefer Torah for him, or you should buy a Sefer Torah on sale. So Kisva Lachem Es Hashir Hazayis, the additional level of interpretation is that it doesn't refer to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua were commanded to write Parshas Hazino, Shiras Hazino, before they delivered the Nevuah. It goes on Kisva Lachem, it goes to everybody, every Jewish person, every Jewish man has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So what is the word Kisva Lachem? So the Ramban writes Kisva Lachem Neshem Mitzvah. The Ksiva of a Sefer Torah has to be Lushmo. That's how the Ramban writes in Sukkah and Daftes. There's a long Mechamas there. So what does it mean if over there it means Kisva Lachem Lushmo? What does it mean over here? Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lachal Shivas Yamim. If it's talking about Asiyas HaSukkah, so the Sukkah should be put up Lushmo. Which part of the Sukkah? The Schach. The Tvanis is not the Sukkah. The Tvanis doesn't have to be put up Lushmo, but the Schach has to be put up Lushmo. So that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. The Shammai said that a sukkah that was put up by Goy is not acceptable. And we pass on like Basilu, that the sukkah that's put up Shalom Lishmo is okay. What about the word Lecho? Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecho Shivas Yom Lecho. So they say Lecho is Lemut Egzulo. Lecho doesn't mean L'shem Chay Vaschem by the Ksiva Sefer Torah says Kisva Lachem Es Hashir Hazayis Lachem L'shem Chay Vaschem L'shem Mitzvah. But over here, where it says Sukkos Tasa Lecho, Lecho means Lemut Egzula, that a Sukkah Gzula is no good. That's on Tesa Meralim. That's how we paskin. The Tesis has the famous Kasha. What do you need a drasha to teach you that Sukkah Gzula is no good? A Lulabab Gozula is no good. It's the Chamitzo Baba Averis. What do you need a new Pasuk over here? So that's the famous Tesis. The Tesis comes up with a Wap Rav Achidish that the whole Din of Mitzvah Baba Averis is only with the Rabban. So that's why you have to have a Pasuk that here it's no good Minatur. And the Menachas Chinuch and other Achreinim have other suggestions, additional terutzim. If one would want to assume that Mitzvah Baba Aver is a psul deraisa, so there's room to give additional terutzim on the kasha. But that pasuk, because that pasuk has this additional level of interpretation, Sukkos Tasa Lechol Shivas Yamim, she construct the sukkah, it goes on Asiyas HaSukkah, so that's what led Beis Shammai to say, Tasa Lechol L'shem Choy Baschem, L'shem Mitzvah. That the schach has to be put up lishma, And the Beis Hillel disagreed that it doesn't have to be put up Lishma. Taisus on that Mishnah, that's on Taisa Moral. Taisus on the Mishnah quotes the Yerushalmi, that true, let's say here in the Yeshiva, the Nochrim always used to put up the Sukkah, with the Schach and everything. So Nochri Al-Pidin is not capable of doing Lishma. Whoever is any B'Toiras is not capable of putting up, doing anything Lishma. Let's say the matzahs have to be baked Lishma. So it's a mazel that the din is that women are chayiv and matzah. Because for generations, the women always baked the matzahs. They always used to have almanis baking matzahs. If the din would have been that women are potter from the mitzvah's matzah, it should have been potter. It's a mitzvah says the shas ban gromos. The Gemara says it's an exception to the rule that matzah is hukish to chometz. Kol sheyeshtem ebal techel chometz, sheyeshtem ikum mochal matzah. So the Ritva writes there in Psachim and Daf Mem, if the din would have been that women would have been potter from matzah, so women would be puzzled for asiyas hamatzah. Whenever you need lishma, so the goyim say whoever is ainu b'toiras is incapable of creating lishma. The Gemara has this concept by a get that a nochri cannot write a get lishma. Why? Misheni there. The Gemara says misheni b'toiras get mikedushin. Whoever, let's say an Eber Kanani doesn't have tfisas kedushin at all. See, even though the Eber Kanani is Jewish and is chayv mitzvahs kiisha, he cannot write a get. Why? Because the get has to be written lishma. And the Eved Knight, who's ain't a git mikedushin, cannot create lishma. So that's the same by matzah. A nochri is going to bake matzahs. A cotton will bake matzah. A cotton is ain't a mitzvahs. So he cannot create lishma. So the same over here. According to Beis Shammai, a sukkah that would be constructed by nochri would not be acceptable because he needs lishma. We pass on like the Beis Hillel that the sukkah that's made shalom lishma is good. So Tosis quotes Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, even though the din is like Beis Hillel, that the sukkah. The Gemara has two brises. One brise says sukkas gamvach is kosher. The other brise says sukkas rakvash. Gamvach and rakvash are rashi tevis. Gamvach is a rashi tevis, has nothing to do with ganovim. Gamvach is a rashi tevis, but goyim, noshim, behemis, and kusim. What does it mean if the goy made the sukkah? Noshim, if a woman made the sukkah. Behemah doesn't mean the behemah made the sukkah. It means the sukkah was made for a behemah. It was never made lishma. Or kusim, the sukkah was made by kusim. Kusim are non-Jews. So if the goy makes the sukkah, so it says that it's good. I remember once on sukkahs, the chazan from the local conservative synagogue came over to our home, and he asked my father, a major shaila, that he didn't like the new conservative rabbi. He used to have an old rabbi, he was a nice guy, the old conservative rabbi, Hank Shaw. Everybody liked him. And the new rabbi was a young whippersnapper from the Jewish theological seminary. He was real shagetz. And the chazan didn't like the new rabbi. So the new rabbi kept passing. The sukkah fell down in the conservative shul. Sukkah fell down. So the goy built it up. The sukkah built it up again. The rabbi said that it's kosher. They can say a bracha on the sukkah. So the chazan assumed for sure that the rabbi passed wrong. How can it be? A sukkah made by goy is good. So he came to my father. He wanted my father to say the sukkah is no good. He's going to go back and tell all the balabatim that the new rabbi is an Amoris. He does know. So my father asked him, where is the sukkah? Tell me, where's the sukkah built? He said, the sukkah is on a bima inside the shul. So he said, it's under the ceiling. So it's no good. There's nothing to discuss. Sukkah tachas habayis. So the chazan says, well, let's forget about that. What about the fact that it was built by a goy? My father said, that's kosher. That sukkah's gambach is kosher. He couldn't believe it. See, he thought for sure that the new rabbi was an Amoris. So that's what the Gemara says. Sukkas, gambach, and rakfash. What's rakfash? Roim, kayotzim. I forgot already what it stands for. Borginin. Shomer Peretz. Okay. So even though the sukkah was not constructed, the Shein Mitzvah, it's good. That's the psak is like this hill. Koyta Beshamer is takenogu. So Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, even though we pass on like this Hillel, that it's not that you don't need Lishma, but still it says if you have an old hut that you want to use for a sukkah, tzorach lachadish badover. You don't need to place all the schach Lishma. Beishamai requires you should put all the schach Lishma. The whole sukkah needs asir Lishma, and the whole sukkah means all the schach. Beis Hillel agrees, tzorach lachadish badover. How much? So it says either a tefach al tefach, let's say you have a gigantic sukkah the size of this room, so in the nochrim put on all the schach, so a Jew should pick up at least in one corner, should pick up a tefach al tefach of the schach and put it down again, pick it up a tefach and put it down. And then he put a tefach al tefach, lishma is good enough. Or if he's going to pick up one bamboo stick that's al pnei kuloi, mashu al pnei kuloi, that's also good, that's considered as if he, it's chidush dover. He was machshav the whole sukkah. So there's a big machlekes in Achrayim in Shulchan Aruch. When this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, big machlekes, the Yerushalmi just meant to say Yahidur lachatchila midirabbanan, or it's really the ikuva that both Beishamai and Beisilul agree that you need asir lishma. They just argue how much lishma do you need? That Beisilul say lishma on miktsas is sufficient. That makes the whole thing asir lishma. Beishamai say no, you need lishma and every stitch of the ischach. The pashtus in the Babli is. The Gemara said, what does the word Chag Sukkos Tasa Lecha? What does the word Lecha mean? So Beishamai said Lecha means L'shem Chai V'aschem Lishma. And Beisila doesn't say Lishma means L'shem Mitzvah, but Lishma B'miktsas is enough on the whole thing. Beisila disagree with the whole thing. They say Tasa Lecha L'mutek Zula. So the Babli seems to say B'feirish that according to Beisila you don't even need anything. You don't need any Asiyah Lishma. So that's the question. Does the Yerushalmi disagree with the Bavli? We should be choshish for the Yerushalmi that is ma'akeh b'di'evet. Or the whole Yerushalmi was only meant as a hidur l'chatchila. In Ikra Din, they still hold the Yeroni l'shmo at all.
It says on the Kesel
Bezer to be Shem Tzel.
So
it's not that the Yerushalmi would require in the Bavli a degree of l'shmo. Yeah, even Beisilah agreed that the schach has to be put up in Shem Tzel.
So
for the mitzvah, yeah, the Yerushalmi says, yeah, even Beisila agreed to Beishamai that a little bit has to be put up l'shem mitzvah. We usually say that a katan is not able to create l'shma, either because a katan is a lab bardas. So whoever is a lab bardas, al pidin can't create. He can be a bigger genius than all the adults, but al pidin, a katan is a lab bardas. They say can't create l'shma. Or the katan is not a bar chiyuva. He's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of sukkah. So whoever is Zayin B'Torah can create Lishma, like a Nochri can create Lishma, whatever. We assume a cotton cannot create Lishma. So the Avnei Nezah has a suffix that even though we pass like this Hillel, that you don't need Lishma, but you still have to have the Shem Tzel. The Schach has to be put up intending that it should give shade, and someone's going to sit there on the bottom in the shade. So what if a cotton puts up the Schach? You see, a cotton is Mufka from creating all the Lishma, even the Shem Tzel. Our cotton is only mufka from creating l'shem mitzvah. See, has a pilpul about it, a din about that topic. The Rabbi Natam is quoted in Tosfos in Gittin Adaf Memhei Amid Beis that a woman is not kosher for tying tzitzis. If a woman ties tzitzis, is no good because women are potter from tzitzis. Mitzvah says shas magrama. So and therefore mishena whoever is any b'toras. Cannot create the Heftel Shal Mitzvah. So Tosfos asks on the Rabbi Natam, how can he say that? The Gemara says that a woman who makes a sukkah, it's good. So why should I distinguish between Asiyas HaSukkah and Asiyas HaTzitzit? So the Achrayim explained the Rabbi Natam, it's a simple distinction. If the din would have been like the Shammai, that Asiyas HaSukkah needs Lishma, then the Rabbi Natam would have said that a woman cannot create Lishma. Whoever is in the Beteris a particular mitzvah, cannot create Lishma, but we pass them like this hilo, that Asiyas HaSukkah does not need Lishma, just needs the Shem Tzel. So the woman also sits in the shade as opposed to women sit in the shade. Only men have the concept of shade. Women are part of the mitzvah of Sukkah, but you don't need the Shem Mitzvah, you need the Shem Tzel. So a woman can do that, but by tzitzis, the Rabbi Natam apparently holds, that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Tosfos. Rabbi Natam and the Baalei HaTosfos think that tying the tzitzis onto the beged requires Lishma. So if you need Lishma, so a woman is Zeinu B'Torah Mitzvah Tzitzis because it says Man Groma, so a woman cannot create Lishma. That's how a few Achreinim write. The Kohelis Yankiv writes like that, the Ksav Sefer writes like that. Several others, they write, that's the Shitas Rabbi Natan. What's the minimum size that the Sukkah has to be? So the Gemara has a three-way Machlekes Hatanoi. Some Tanaim are of the opinion that a sukkah has to be a minimum of dalet amos al dalet amos, like in Kol HaTorah Kulo. A room is not chayv mezuzah unless you have dalet amos al dalet amos. What else? The Gemara has a whole list of dinim. You only have to kisiv the bayis v'asisa makah legagecha. The mitzvah of makah is only if the roof is on top of a bayis, and the bayis means dalet amos al dalet amos. Less than dalet amos, it's omid l'stira, it's not a bayis, so there's no mitzvah of makah. The Gemara has a list of dinim. Whoever lives in a bayis that's less than dalarams, does nasa the other people in the chotzer, you don't have to have him participate in the yeruv. All this tadinim derais and mihu yisha shapana bais v'lech anochay yelach v'yoshev lebeis. He's patur from the army only if the bais is a minimum of dalaram dalaram. So one opinion is, the Gemara quotes Rebbe's opinion is, that a sukkah is like a bias, it has to be dalaram dalaram. So that we do not accept. The Gemara says, that's a fundamental machloikis on the level of the raisa, where the sukkah has to be diras keva, a sukkah has to dafke be diras aroi. Machloikis min akotza la kotza. Half of the tanaim insist it has to dafke be diras keva, the other half of the tanaim insist it has to dafke be diras aroi. So the Orach Laner points out in the beginning of the first daf in Sukkah, 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher l'chaladeis. But kosher l'chaladeis, l'marki disle, half of the Tanoim look at all the sukkahs, 98% of the sukkahs, they say, yeah, it's kosher because it qualifies as a diras keva. The other half of the Tanoim say, no, it qualifies as a diras aroi. They're looking at the exact same sukkah, and they say it's kosher because it's diras keva, and they say it's kosher diras aroi. Sometimes you have a sukkah that's absolutely diras keva. So then we'll paskin that it's no good. We paskin it has to be diras aroi. Sometimes you have a sukkah that's absolutely diras aroi. It's so tiny, it's less than dalaram dalaram. So the other tanu who insists that it has to be dafka diras keva, they'll pasel such a sukkah. So 1% of all the sukkahs in the world is absolutely diras keva, and we would pasel that. 1% is absolutely diras aroi. And the other tanu would pasul that. And 98% of the sukkahs are good l'chol adeis, muskam l'chol adeis good, but each one the market is lay. According to half of the tanaim, the 98% of the sukkahs are good because they are, they do constitute diras keva, and according to the other tanaim, because they do constitute diras aroi. So the Gemara says this is a fundamental machloikas. Whether the sukkah has to have dalaramas or dalaramas or not, that's a fundamental machloikas, but the diras keva, diras aroi. So we pass kandiras aroi. If it's bigger than the dalarams, that doesn't make it puzzle. If it's smaller than dalarams, then it can't be a diras keva. Bigger than dalarams can still be called a diras aroi. If it's taller than esrimama, that's the first mishnah. If the sukkah is so tall that it's taller than esrimama, so it's a machlekes abuda nachachamim. So the Gemara gives three interpretations of what's the issue, what's the nekudas machlekes. So one of the more popular interpretations in the Gemara is because Lamala Meser Mama for sure is a Diras Keva. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's good. He holds a Sukkah has to be Diras Keva. We paskin fakir. A Sukkah has to be Diras Aroi. Where's the original Machloikas? The original Machloikas of Yehuda and Rabbanon is in Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph. Do you have to put a mezuzah on a Sukkah or not? Because mezuzah, you only put if it's a Diras Keva. If it's a Diras Aroi, you don't put a mezuzah. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, yes, a sukkah has to be dalarams or dalarams, and it has to be a diras keva, and it's chayv and mezuzah. What kind of a diras keva? You only plan to be there for 7 days. The Torah says you have to be there, so that's called diras keva. And we paskin that a sukkah is diras aroi, and you don't have to put a mezuzah, not mechayv and mezuzah. Unless the achrayim say, unless you have a room of the house that you just take off, so all year long you use it as a room, and all year long you have a mezuzah. So you're going to say on sukkahs, because you take off the roof, you roll off the roof and you put on stach, so all of a sudden it becomes a diras aroi. So they say for mezuzah purposes, you got to retain the mezuzah there, even on sukkahs. So why? It's still a diras keva. So that's already a little sticky. Still a diras keva. So how is it? How does it qualify for a kosher sukkah? I don't know. So they work on that. They try to formulate the distinction somehow. But the Or puts it all together. If the sukkah has to be diras keva, it's chayv and mezuzah. It has to be diras aroi, not chayv and mezuzah. So we assume that a sukkah diras aroi, not a diras keva. You don't need dalaramas or dalaramas, but it's still a machlokes hatanaim b'sham and b'silo. How big? What's the minimum size? So the b'silo seem to hold it's enough if it's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, and the b'sham say it has to be a little more than that, 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. It's not enough Rosh HaVeruba, you have to Rosh HaVeruba v'Shulchana. You need an extra Tefach al Tefach for the Shulchana. So we paskin over here like Beis Shammai. That's what Tosis points out in the beginning of Sukkah and Gimla Manav. They quote from the Siddur Avramam Goy, that in the first parak of Maseches Shabbos, there's a Mishnah that there were 18 kids. There was one day in the Congress that the more Republicans than there were Democrats, there were more Beis Shammai than there were Beis Hillel. There must have been a Siyam HaShas by the Beis Hillel, so there's nobody there from Beis Hillel. So the Beis Shammai ran through 18 Zeres that day. The Beis Hillel wasn't there, so they were in the majority. So they ran through 18. That's the Yud Ches Dover, the 18 Zeres. Like Congress today. So you take a look who's there today. And then they there's nobody there to filibuster, so they vote in whatever they want. So there are 18 cases where we pass in like the Bishamai. That's the Mishnah in the first parak in Shabbos. And then Tosis quotes from the Sidra Avraham Goyim, but that's not all. There are another 6 cases collected all over the place. You have to have a Bekiyas. The 18 are listed in the first parak of Masechet Shabbos. The Mishnah refers to the Yud Ches Dover, and the Gemara tells you which are the Yud Ches Dover. And the additional 6 that the Rav Amar Goyen went through Shas, and he picks up which 6 are the additional that we paskin like the Beis Shammai. So he says this is one of the 6 that a sukkah has to be Zayin al Zayin as opposed to Vav al Vav. This is one of the 6. I remember years ago they used to say Mistama, there is no such medrash. Shkula mitzvah sukkah keneged kol mitzvahs kulam. I don't know of such a medrash. There is a medrash shkula mitzvah tzitzis keneged kol mitzvahs kulam. There probably is no such medrash. Shkula mitzvah sukkah. So they used to say. They made up their own medrash. Shkula mitzvah sukkah kenega kol mitzvah. How is that? Why is it shkula? So they said, simple. A sukkah has to have a floor, zayin al zayin. It has to have a roof, zayin al zayin. So zayin al zayin is 49 square. The roof has to be zayin al zayin is 49 square. So 49 and 49 is 98. And then you have shtaim kelchosim ashlishis afilu tefach. So you have to have 2 tefanas that are going to be 10 tefachim tall and 7 wide. So 7 times 10 is 70. Next one is also 7 times 10 is 70. 70 and 70 is 140. And then the shlishis afilu tefach has to be 1 tefach wide and 10 tefachim tall. So that's 10. So 70 plus 70 is 140, plus 10 is 150, plus 98 is 248. So that's the ramach mitzvah saseh. So shkula. Shkula mitzvah sukkah. Some of them made up this measure. Shkula mitzvah, it's measured. The measurements of the sukkah. A shkula keneged kol mitzvah saseh. Keneged kol mitzvah saseh.
You said by these 6 cases that the Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel? You said it was a similar situation? Or?
No. The consensus in the later generations was like that they never voted on it, but they were never on the minyan. But the consensus in the later period was like the Beis Shammai.
Even though we generally say Beis Shammai, Makkel Beis Hillel, Ein Mishnah, they right. Could still go back and choose Beis Shammai?
Apparently. Apparently they were never Omdel Minyan in the days of Bisham and Basil on these 6. So later they were Omdel Minyan and they decided that's the thing. Even if it would have been Omdel Minyan, you can have a later generation as Omdel Minyan and we reverse the Psak. We have a lot of times in Mishnah, you have a Psak in the Mishnah and then it says Bezin Shalach Re'em Omru. And the later generation, they reverse the Psak. So the Gemara calls that that's a Mishnah Rishon and that's a Mishnah Achreina. Just because in one generation they pass in one way doesn't mean that it's etched in stone and you can't reverse the psak. We're always reversing psak. The halacha is always in flux. In every generation, all the rabbanim have a little input. This little book that they printed on Rav Avadia Yosef, Mimoran Admoron. Mimoran Habis Yosef Admoron Chacham Avadia, they call him Moron. So someone wrote a whole book and Rav Avadia liked it and he sent him a letter. Yes, that's exactly accurate, it's correct. So the thrust of the book, I read the first half of the book. I thought it was a condemnation of Chacham Avadia. I don't see why he's so happy. I thought he was making fun of him. Rav Avadia insists that since in the 1500s, the din was like, the Sfaradim accepted the Psak Rav Yosef Kara, it's etched in stone, le'olam void, after Trias HaMeisim, you're not allowed to reverse the Psak. That's not the derech of the halacha always, in every generation, they always change. The halacha is always changing. In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Amoraim, they were always changing halacha. By the Ashkenazim, always changing. Look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah reversed the psak on every other page of the Shulchan Aruch, he reversed. There was a psak hamakubal for centuries, based on the Magan Avraham and the Machzah Shekel and the Prima God. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, well, they just printed an Eshkol and an Urzarua, so and a Mamaram Chalaba, so we should turn the whole Shulchan Aruch upside down. And the Chemed Baisha says this, he pulls a newfangled Rishonim, Akrainim, and he reverses the whole Psalm. The Chazanish is not so happy about the fact that the Mishnah Brewer is reversing the Psalm based on the Kisviyad. He says, whatever Kisviyad we're lost, forget about it. But the Chazanish also reverses the Psalm. If he doesn't think that it's right, so he'll reverse the Psalm. The Chachamim in every generation, Ein L'chol HaShefet Shal B'Yamecha. And Moshe Feinstein reversed the Psalm HaMekubal on many halachas like that. Much more so than Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe was so humble and quiet, and he got away with it. He He spoke, he muttered under his breath, and he didn't speak so clearly. Rav Soloveitchik got up, you know, he dressed like an American, and he spoke so clearly, and everybody understood, so he thought he's changing. He wasn't changing, just saying over what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And Moshe was reversing the psak, like the Chafetz Chaim got away also. Chafetz Chaim was a very quiet, humble man, so he didn't realize he changed the psak on every other page of the Shulchan Aruch. So I don't understand this whole... Why Chacham Ovadia said, yeah, that's exactly correct. I think it's scandalous. I don't think that's not Darkei Shelter. Darkei Shelter, in every generation, the Chachamim reinvestigate and you think it over again. Nothing. Aseres Adibras are etched in stone. The rest of the Torah is not etched in stone. The Din of Deraisa you can't change, but the interpretation of the Din of Deraisa you can change. The Tanoim are always changing. The Mishnah in the second parak in Sukkah presents a machlekes Rabbeinu and Chachamim. What if you have a Sukkah al gabi hu agolo? Lubavitch has a mitzvah mobile. So they have a portable Sukkah that moves around. So that's a machlekes Hatanoim if it's good. And we paskin that it is good. So what's the nekudas machlekes? What's the issue? So the Gemara says the simple pshat is Rabbeinu and Chachamim, they're arguing the same machlekes about Lamaile Meser Mama. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah needs a mezuzah. And Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. Why? Because he holds a sukkah has to be diras keva. And Chacham disagreed. No, it has to be diras aroi. Min akotza lakotza, they argue. So what if you have a sukkah that's portable? It's not even attached to the ground. It's moving around. Sukkah hamitalteles. Sukkah al gabi agola. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitosa, holds that it's no good. It's not a diras keva. It's not even attached. It's not even standing on the ground. Forget about attached. Not even standing on the ground. It's standing on a wagon. And the Chachamim hold Adarabah. Good. The Diras Aroya. So Diras Aroya is good. So that's the Pashtus. That's the Machlokes. And we pass them like the Chachamim. Then the Gemara said, that's what the first Amora says. That the Machlokes in the second Perek in Sukkah, Machlokes Abir and the Rabbanon is, Lishitosam by Mezuzah and Lishitosam by Lamali Meser Mamo, whether Sukkah Diras Keva, Sukkah Diras Aroya Bina. Then the Gemara has another suggestion. No. Maybe the Machlokes Hatanoim is, regarding Ma'amid. What is Ma'amid? So there's a requirement that the schach has to be made from specific material. What material? So that's learned up in that pasuk. Sukkah tasa l'chal shivas yamid ba'os b'cham migar l'cham yikvecha. What material should you use to make schach from? Sol is gar l'yekev. The leftover. You shouldn't use the fruits that grow on the tree. You shouldn't use the vegetables that grow on the ground, the leftover, ba'aspucha, the psol is going to be yakev. If the fruit itself, the food itself, is dava hamakabal tumah. So we need gidule karka, and it should be talush, and it should be ena makabal tumah. Those are the three conditions. In order to be kosher b'schach, you need gidule karka, talush, and ena makabal tumah, and that's based on that pasuk, ba'aspucha, megorna chamikvecha, psol is going to be yakev. So the Gemara says the following shayla. What if you have a kli, which is mekabel tumah, a wooden kli, it's gidule karka, and it's tolush, but it's a davaham kabel tumah, made a kli out of it. The Mishnah has, the Gemara has a din. Let's say I had a wooden bed. So a bed is a davaham, a wooden bed is gidule karka, tolush, but it is mekabel tumah, it's a kli. So then there's some, the bed broke. A fat person slept on a bed, it broke the bed. Sure. So the whole bread is broken into pieces. It's no longer mekabel tumah, shivre kelim. So the Gemara says Shivrei Kelim, even though it's not Mekabel Tumah, but Midrabbanan Eim Sachachim Shivrei Kelim Gzeira Otu Kelim. Someone may make a mistake if they'll see that you're using Shivrei Kelim, they'll think that you can use Kelim also. So they made a Gzeira the Rabban. Fine. Or there's another Gzeira the Rabban according to the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the first parak talks about using string. I took, let's say I have string that grow, I have hemp that grows on a bush, and then they make cord from that. When you tie up a parcel post package, that brown stuff that hurts your fingers, so that grows on a bush. That's gedulei karka. Sometimes you have a thread that you tie with that's made from wool. That's not gedulei karka. Wool grows on an animal. Or sometimes you have thread that's made from plastic. Or sometimes you have a metal thread, wire. So that's also not gedulei karka. That's karka itself. Metal is karka. It's not gedulei karka. So if you have string, so that should be good. It's gedulei karka and it's tolush and it's ena mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says it's no good. Sometimes the string is no good. Why is it no good? So Rashi and Tosfos is going to a whole dissertation that it's mekabel tumah negoyim. even though it's not mekabel other tumas, it somehow is mekabel tumas tzara'as begodim. And the Rambam learns, and the Pnei Yeshua has a whole attack against Rashi, and tells that's not called mekabel tumah. Mekabel tumah means, if I'm tummy and I touch you, I touch the Oichlim, I touch the Kelim, I will transmit tumah. Here, if the thing develops a negat saras, it's not mekabel tumah mibachutz, it's like a tumah hayotza ola migufa. It developed to become a dover tummy. So he taina is that maybe that's what motivated the Rambam to give a different shot other than Rashi and Tosis, that tumas saras bigodim is not doesn't fall under the category of mekabel tumas. It develops tumah, and he says anything can develop tumah. There's a Mishnah that says if you have a galal v'doifik, it has tumas meis. A galal v'doifik means you bury the person under the ground, and then you have a galal v'doifik. So Rashi learns galal v'doifik means the coffin. The walls of the coffin and the lid of the coffin. And Rabbi Natam and Taisus in the beginning of Ksubis and other places in Brochas, other Mesichtas, Rabbi Natam says, Gol V'dafik does mean the walls of the coffin or the lid of the coffin, refers to the Matzeva. So the Mishnah says, let's say according to Taisus, a Matzeva made from any material has a Tumas Gol V'dafik. Anything in the world can be. You make a Matzeva of anything. So you should say, let's say you have bamboo. Let's say the matzeva temporarily. We didn't put up a matzeva, so we're just going to put a few sticks of bamboo. So it also has tumas gola v'doifik. So how can you ever use bamboo for schach? It's dov ha-mekabel tumah. If you use it as a gola v'doifik, it'll become tumah. The answer is, that's not mekabel tumah. It's not that the gola v'doifik is mekabel tumah for the maize. Gola v'doifik is called kever, and kever is tumah. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua argues with Tosfos. How can Rashi and Tosfos, how can you say that the string is mekabel tumas negoim? It's not mekabel tumas negoim. It can develop a negat saras. It'll become tummy. But it's never mekabel tumas mibachutz. So maybe that's what motivated the Rambam to give a different shot. So the Rambam learns that the string that the Gemara says is posel l'schach is only posel midrabbanan. It's not posel minatur. And the reason, this is why it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam sheet. And the reason why the string is posel is because it's nishtanet zu rasai. That it doesn't look like a dule karaka. If you'll buy a spool of thread from the 5 and 10 cent store, it doesn't exist anymore. No, you can't get anything for 5 cents. There used to be in the Fria de Gadaris, there used to be a 5 and 10 cent store. So if you'll buy thread, true, it's gedule karaka, but unless someone tells you, you wouldn't know where the thing came from. It looks like it's synthetic. It's like a panim chadashas ba'olakan. So since you can't really tell by looking at it, it's not so obvious that it's gudele karkas. I mean, the rabbanu they passed it because of nishtanis. Based on bovekama, shinui kaina, panam chadosh bovekan, it loses its status as gudele karkas. There's even a discussion in the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev. What if you have slats of wood and you want them to last longer? So you shellac them, you paint them with you can shellac them with colorless shellac that'll protect them from the rain, from getting rotting because of the water of the rain. And then some people paint the schach with paint. They change the color. It had the natural color of wood. And then they paint it white, or they paint it green, whatever the color they want. They want to have a colorful psychedelic sukkah, so they can paint it whatever they want. So if you paint it a different color, the Mishnah says in Bava Kama that shinu kaina. If a ganav steals a sweater that has no color and he dyes it, or if a ganav steals a table that has no color and he paints the table, so the Mishnah says that that's a shinui. So according to the Rambam, if you have gidule karka, which is tolish and enim akabal tumah, but you make a shinui on it, then you say panim chadashis hamid rabbanon, we passel it, so maybe a painted schach is also no good. That's a suffix in the Shari Tshuva. Maybe it's only nishtanis tzurasoi, maybe it's only different if you made thread out of it. It's in Gansen different, but if the thing is basically, it's still wooden slats, just that you painted it. So everybody sees that it's wood that grew from the ground. So that's a sofik in the Shari Tshuva. Anyway, so that's the requirement for schach has to be gedule karka, tolish and dovish eni mekabel tum. So the Gemara says over here, there is a machlekes hatanim, if you have an agola, if you have a sukkah built on top of an agola, that's mitalta. So machlek is in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. What's the Nekudas machlek? So the first pshat the Gemara gives is a stand-up pshat. Machlek is lishitos, whether the sukkah has to be diras keva, or the sukkah has to be diras aroid. Then the Gemara suggests another pshat. No, maybe this is unrelated. Maybe this is a new machlek, is that what? Here this schach is being supported He made a sukkah on a wagon, let's say, and the schach is being supported by the walls of the wagon. Now, the walls of the wagon are a kli. The schach is being supported by a kli. Let's say I have picnic tables. Let's say I have picnic tables, and I turn three picnic tables sideways, so I have the top flat board is going to serve as the three walls of my sukkah. The picnic tables are davar hamekabel tum, it's a kli. The table is davar hamekabel tum, it's a kli. And then I'm going to have the schach resting on the top of the three walls of the picnic table. Is that okay? So the Gemara suggests now that that's the machlokes hatanoim. The picnic table is a davar hamekabel tum, so that itself you can't use as schach. But you have the schach resting on a davar hamekabel tum. The schach is being supported by the kelim. So should I say that such a sukkah is pasul? So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda pasuls it. So whatever the machlokes is, the pashtus is yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. Whatever they're fighting about, the din should be against Rabbi Yehuda. He was outvoted. Whatever he said, he was outvoted by the rabbanim. So there's a minority, should have a minority opinion in the rishonim. If the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbanim is identical with their machlokes in the first daf, where the sukkah diras keva binon, sukkah diras aroy binon. So we know that we don't put a mezuzah on the sukkah. We know we paskin diras aroy. So we should say over here, like of course the halacha is like the chachamim. The sukkah asui barosh agala is going to be kosher. It doesn't have to be diras keva. Adarab, diras keva would pasul it. But according to the second shot that the Gemara suggested, that the machlokes abir and rabbanon is, what if your mamid the schach with dover hamakabal tuma? So there is a minority opinion in the rishonim that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda here. Which is very strange. What does it make a difference? What the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was outvoted by the majority. Very strange. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that there is such an opinion. Mikaradin we paskin that mamid bischach posel is okay, but because there is such a minority opinion, so they say lachatchila one should avoid having mamid, that you shouldn't have the schach held up by the davar hamekabel tuma. Shouldn't have the schach held up by anything that's pasul the sachik. But what's exactly no good with this? What's exactly the nature of the psul? So here there's a machlokes Rashi in Iran. What's wrong with mamid? Mamid is the most common issue that people pasul sukkahs because of mamid. The whole mamid, the Chazanish writes, the whole mamid is only alachatchila. Mikra din we paskin mamid doesn't pose a problem and the sukkah is kosher. We're talking about mahadrin la mahadrin mena mahadrin. You should be choshish for the opinion in the Rishonim who passed him like Rabbi Yehuda, which really shouldn't have done, that the mamid is no good. So the shaila is, what's wrong with mamid? So there's a machlokes Rashi in the Ran. So there are more quotes, the Ran halacha l'maaseh. This whole story of mamid is only a chumrah midrabbanan. What they're fighting about, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, is a chumrah midrabbanan. If you'll allow people to have the schach supported by the walls of the picnic tables, the next thing you know, someone's going to use a picnic table as the schach. That's how the Ramo understands. If you the Ramo b'shem Aran, so that's why the Ran says, let's say here in Washington Heights, you have a lot of buildings. So a lot of the people use the brick walls or the concrete walls of the building as the walls for their sukkah. So they just have the schach is held up. Part of the schach is on one wall and it's resting on the other wall. So the bricks of the walls that are standing already, the bricks of the wall serve as the tefanis for the sukkah. All the requirements for schach, you do the karka and tolish, etc., only apply to schach, doesn't apply to the tfanis. So to have tfanis from bricks is not a problem. So what the shaila is, what if the schach is supported by the bricks? So that's mamid. So according to the chumra, that you're not allowed to use mamid, so you shouldn't allow to have the schach supported by the bricks. So the Ran says, come on, what are you talking about? Everybody knows you don't make schach from bricks. Schach has to be something flimsy. Bricks is out of the question. So he says, they never made a gzera d'rabbanan on bricks. Everybody knows that's no good for schach. So the Ran is befurish, and there are more paskins like that, that the whole topic of mamid is only an issue d'rabbanan, and it's the whole thing is a gzera shema yovel l'sachich, but if you'll allow mamid, if you'll allow psulei schach for mamid, next thing you know, someone's going to use that for the schach itself. And if you're talking about bricks or stones, everybody knows you're not going to use that. There's nothing to discuss. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out in one of his svarim, I think it's in Lekach Toiv, that if you read the Rashi on that Gemara in Sukkah in the second paragraph, Rashi doesn't seem to agree with the Ran. Rashi sounds like he holds that Mamid is an issue deraisa, that the ikar of the Sukkah is the Schach, And the ikar of the schach is what holds up the schach. So just like you require dov sheni mekabel tum for the schach, Rashi sounds like it's a din deraisa that you can't use dov hamekabel tum to be mamid the schach either. So the Ma'aseh said we don't follow that Rashi. The Ramah passed in the Shulchan Aruch that is perfectly okay, like the Ram. He says you can have the brick wall supporting the schach, and that you don't worry about mamid. It's only an issue of the Rabbanim. So that's why there's a big machlokes and achrayim. What if you'll be mamid b'schach posel mid the Rabbanim? Let's say I have this hemp that grew from the ground. It's gedulei karka. It's tomish eni mekabel tuma, but it's nishtana. So according to the Rambam quoted by the Mechaber, that's no good mid the Rabbanim. Schach she nishtana doesn't look like gedulei karka anymore, so it's no good mid the Rabbanim. So let's say I have a sukkah, and I have to have something to support the schach. The sukkah is not sturdy enough. So let's say I'll take gedulei karka string, this hemp. I'll take it and I'll tie string on top of the sukkah, and I'll have the schach sitting on top of the string. And without that string, all the schach would have collapsed. So that's literally mamid. The string is holding up the schach. So the string is pasul the sachich boy, but it's only pasul mid the rabbanon. It's only pasul the sachich boy mid the rabbanon. Gzeri shemi sachich the string. So that's when some achrayim came up with the ninth fala. That's gzeri l'gzeri. The whole reason why mamid is not allowed is because of gzeri shemi yovel the sachich boy. So if the mamid itself is only pasul the sachich boy mid the rabbanon, if you're going to say you can't use it as a mamid, that's already gzeri l'gzeri. So one place in Mishnah Berurah writes like that. If you're using as a mamid schach posel, that's only posel with the rabbanon, so that's okay, not a problem. That's exactly. 5 pages earlier, the Mishnah Berurah writes not so. He says that it's also no good. Other achrayim say it's no good. It's not exactly gzera. It's a trade in rabbanon. Gzera l'gzera is only if the second gzera is made because we're concerned someone's going to violate an issa de rabbanon. But here, each gzera is made independently. Each gzera is made because we're concerned. Otto adin deraisa. We don't allow string because nishtana. People would think that you don't need gedule karka. It doesn't look like gedule karka. We don't allow mamid because we're afraid people are going to use this as the schach. Here it happens that they collide together. I'm going to use as a mamid, I'm going to use string, which is pasul the sachach b'mid rabbanon. So that's not really a gzera l'gzera. That's a trade rabbanon. So really, more mistabe should have been that it should have been pasul. That if you hold that mamid is no good, you should have said even mamid b'schach pasul mid the rabbanon should also be a problem. It really doesn't qualify. She really shouldn't qualify as exer. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he says in achreinim it's a machloikis and it's a stir in the Mishnah Berurah one place to the other. But in Rishonim, the only Rishonim who talk about it to his knowledge is the Ritva, and the Ritva says that it's good. Okay, so it's a machloikis achreinim. The only one among the Rishonim who talks about it, the Ritva, he says it's good. So it's good. You're talking about a hider, mahajim and a mahadvin, a chumim and a rabbanan, and a mahajim and a mahadvin. So you're not mechuyev to me makna so far.
And it's possible the difference is that there's schach puzzle, schach that's actually puzzle, and something that we would come to the sachet with, and something that's puzzle is schach, something that we never use like the persons for that. Maybe that's the difference in the
tradition. Right. Yeah.
Now one place we're talking about. The whole problem is that if we can't be misafik on something that's possible because we're going to come to misafik.
Right.
So that's probably not.
No. But the other place the Mishnah Berurah is talking, let's say I had a wooden bed, and all the wooden bed broke, and now it's shivre kelim. So it's only possible the sachich b'mid the rabbanon. So he says you can't even use it as a mamet.
Does that mean it comes from misafik? But something that's this string that you could cut to the sachet, somebody normal could be the sachet with it.
Right.
So we'd say that it's also to be mommy with it because somebody's going to be up with the sachet.
Yes, in one place the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to use it, in one place says you may use it. I think both cases talk about something that theoretically could be used for schach. So one place he says, he quotes different achrayim. There are a lot of theories in the Mishnah Berurah. The official biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by his son, that's printed in the Kol Kisvei, three volumes Kol Kisvei, he writes every so often there's a stir in the Mishnah Berurah, because the different parts of the Mishnah Berurah are written by different members of the family. And he writes that his father, the Chafetz Chaim, didn't read it over so carefully. He learned with him, he discussed with him, he didn't write the Mishnah Berurah. He was the general editor of the Mishnah Berurah.
According to Passover Rashi, regarding that, even clearly that even the Ram actually would be, what about metal? According to the Ram, there's no
Well, according to the Ran says on bricks, everybody knows, but let's say metal pipes. If you have metal bars, some people would think that that doesn't look like a house. Have a couple of metal bars, there should be tzilos and ruben mechamasa. So even according to the Ran, that should pose a problem. So that's a problem all the sukkahs. Everybody has a metal frame. If you have the old fangled sukkahs that everybody used to have 60 years ago, 50 years ago, everybody had a sukkah. Wooden wood, all around wood. And then you have the schach supported by the wooden walls. So that's good. The schach is supported by wooden walls. But if you're going to have a metal frame and you just have canvas all over the place, so metal frame is possible schach of Bominat Torah. And this metal frame is going to hold up the schach on top. So then you're not fulfilling this mahadrim and a mahadrim. So you could decide, forget about mahadrim and a mahadrim. Sukkah is good. It won't be mahadrim and a mahadrim. The whole story of Mamed, that's what the Chazanish keeps on repeating. The whole story of Mamed is only a hider. Bikur Adin, we don't pass like Reb Yudah. Mamed is not a problem.
People put like wood on top of the metal, that's silly, because the metal is still Mamed, the wood which is Mamed.
So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mogen Avraham. He says, if you have a metal frame, and you don't want to put the schach on top, so he says the solution is make it into a Mamed the Mamed. He quotes the Ramban, and Mohammed says like that, that put four beams of wood on the four sides, then you put the schach on top of that, and that's Mamed the Mamed, and that's okay. So that's what everybody does. So the Chazon Ish said that the Mogen Avraham misread the Ramban. That's not what the Ramban said. He says the Mishnah Berurah, the Mogen Avraham, they missed the boat, they missed the understanding of the Ramban. Ramban said a different thing. Mamed the Mamed means, let's say if the floor is metal, and the floor holds up wooden walls, and the wooden walls hold up the schach, that's Mamed the Mamed. The metal floor holds up the wooden walls, and the wooden walls in turn hold up the schach on top. So that's Mamed the Mamed is fine. But if you have metal frames, so let's say you're going to have schach that's 10 inches thick. So why don't you say the upper 5 inches is enough schach, the bottom 5 inches is supporting the upper 5 inches of schach. So it's Mamed the Mamed. So that's a joke, but that's not Mamed the Mamed. However thick the schach is, that's all the schach. So he said, the Chazon Ish is, what are you going to help? What is going to help over here? You're going to put four wooden beams, then you're going to put schach on top of the beams. This schach with the beams together is 10 inches thick of schach. It didn't have to be so thick, but as much schach as you put, it's all called schach. So how can you call that Mamed the Mamed? So the Chazon Ish is not happy with that. So he says, truth of the matter is, the whole story of Mamed, Mikra Adin is not a problem. But if you're talking about Mahadrin already, so he says, you're not Yotzei Yani Hidur if you're going to put the four beams. So that's known as, some people like to be choshish for the Chazon Ish Chumra, so they make a wooden frame. Instead of having a metal frame, they make a wooden frame. Chazon Ish has a kula also. Let's say you have very light schach. Let's say you have a mat, very light schach. And all you need is a good wind, and it'll blow the whole schach away. I remember one year I was in Eretz Yisrael, when my daughter got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so we had to be there for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So there were such winds at that time, people in the hotels had sukkahs on different levels, on different balconies of the sukkah. So a lot of the schach flew away. Then the schach for the upper sukkah fell down and landed on top of the lower sukkah. So I thought that was mamish tasev lemon osu. Literally. I thought that was mamish tasev lemon osu. The wind blew it on. So many rabbanim said no. Since the asiya lechatchila was mehechsher, so it's good. I thought it was mamish a mistake. The asiya mehechsher was on a different sukkah. What does it help on this sukkah? The wind blew the schach, the schach mat from the upper sukkah, from the fifth floor, to the ground level. So, but the schach landing on the ground level is mamish tasev lemon osu.
Wait, the sukkah had already schach kasher before the schach.
This schach kasher flew away. Another schach kasher flew down from a different sukkah. So that's, I think that's literally tasev lemon osu. That's mamish no good menater. That's a psul menater. So the Chazon Ish has such a shaila. What if you have a sukkah and you put on schach? You're afraid. All you need is a good wind. It's going to blow the schach away. But right now the wind is not blowing. Right now it's calm and the sukkah is good. So I want to tie down the schach to make sure that it doesn't fly away in the wind. So the Chazon Ish is mechadish, that's not called mamed. He says, mamed is if you put string across, let's say. If you put plastic string, or you put metal wires, across from one doifen to the other, you have the schach resting on top of it. If you would remove the metal wires, all the schach would collapse. So that's literally mamid. But if I have the schach sitting on top of the sukkah and the dovah hamakabel tuma, or the schach puzzle prevents it from becoming puzzle, not that it's maksha the sukkah. The sukkah is kosher as it stands, and this prevents it from flying away in the wind. So the Chazon Ish claims that that's not called mamid. This is against the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber quotes the Tshuva, he takes everybody on. The Chazon Ish is not he's a fearless tiger. He's taken on the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuva of Rashba, that you put on the schach on top of the sukkah and everything is fine. You're afraid the wind is going to blow it away, so you take a ladder and you put the ladder and lean it on top of the schach. So the Shaila is a pilpul, is a wooden ladder, not a metal ladder. So wood ladder is gudule karka, it's tolush. So the Shaila is it mekabel tuma, is it not mekabel tuma? If it's mekabel tuma, then it's no good. It's mamid b'dova ha-mekabel tuma. If it's not mekabel tuma, then there's no problem. So the Mechaber quotes the Tshuva of Rashba, Yeshli his topic, whether a wooden ladder that has pegs and so on, the whole story, is that mekabel tuma or not? According to the Chazon Ish, who cares? Even if it is mekabel tuma, but that's not mamid. The schach is sitting on top of the sukkah in a proper fashion, and the ladder prevents it from becoming pasul. So the Chazon Ish threw in his chumrah against the Mogen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, but then he threw in a kula that makes life much easier.
The din of the Rashba is just because you have pasul schach on your schach. I mean, the ladder is like schach. The string is just on the set.
That's another din. The two kinds of mamid.
No, meaning it happens to be mamid also, but it has another problem that you're sitting under pasul schach.
That's another din in the Gemara. That's if you have Sukkah shetachas habayis, sukkah shetachas ha'ilon is no good. Any part of the sukkah that has schach pasul above it, so we pass from that it's no good. Doesn't matter who came first. The Balamor quotes some Rishonim distinguish. It depends if the sukkah was there first, then you put the pasul schach on top. It is good. If the pasul schach was there first, then you put the schach kosher is no good. So we pass from the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't matter who came first. Doesn't matter whether the kosher schach is on top of the pasul schach, below the pasul schach. Whenever you have one above the other, so we paskin that you can't be out to the mitzvah like that. So yeah, but that's only all of the schach kosher that's exactly mechuvin keneged. The latter is considered as if it weren't there. But you're still going to have tzilosa merum mechamosa. Still going to have so much schach kosher, even if you'll ignore all of that schach shatachas ha-ladder, it'll still be have a hechsher sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. It's a suffix. Maybe it's called mamid b'schach posel, depending whether the ladder is mekabel tum. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with the whole Sif in Shulchan Aruch. He says that it's not called mamid.
Points on Daf Yud, the din of Pirus al Asadim, is not like to show. So Kotrak and Tama understands that the problem of having a sheet underneath the schach is because it keeps the kashrus of the schach above it, so the sun doesn't dry it out, so it doesn't fall down.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same din, telling the lead on top of it. And that's according to that, that's not just the Rashba, that's other Rishon, that's a lot of Rishonim over here say on Daf Yud that's an issue of keeping mamid but not the kabel tuma.
Yeah.
So that's not it's like.
But that's a worse mamid. Yeah, that's a worse mamid.
Why is it worse?
The other mamid we assume is only with the Rabbanan. That Rabbeinu Tam, that's how the Ran says, that's how we paskin. The other mamid from the second parak, that's the Rabbanan. This mamid is apparently worse because it's kosher eschach and posel eschach covering the same area. So the Rabbeinu Tam says if you would put a curtain, if you put a beautiful curtain directly below the schach to beautify the sukkah for noye sukkah, that's called a na'osa eino poisel. That wouldn't pass. But if you put the curtain just in order because you're afraid that the schach is going to shrivel up in the sun and it's going to fall down and you're not going to have tzilos mibur mechamasa, so then the curtain is preserving the hechshir sukkah. So then I pasul it because of the pasul of schach and the kosher schach one on top of the other. It's a more serious kind of mamid because it's one on top of the other. They're both giving shade to the same area.
What would the schach method they have now? Is the string mishul mamid?
Yeah, the string. If you wouldn't have, maybe according to the Chazon Ish, it's not a problem. Could be according to the Chazon Ish, it's not a problem. Because it would hold for 5 minutes until the wind starts to blow. I'm not even sure. It would hold for a few minutes until the wind starts to blow. Arguable, yeah. So the pashtus is, you should make sure that they don't have plastic string or synthetic material. It should be hemp. and then you're relying it to Gedulei Karka, and then you're relying on that Ritva that Chacham Avadya is Mako, where the Mishnah Berurah has the Stira. The latest Svarim point out, the Chazon Ish points out the Stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Another pointed out that if you mamid b'schach pasul mid rabbanon, that won't make.
Plastic
is possible in Atar, it's not Gidule Karka. Metal strings is also possible in Atar, it's not Gidule Karka. But if you have the string grew on a bush and it's Nishtana, so then the Rambam understands in the Gemara that that's a Psul de Rabban. Because Nishtana doesn't look like Gidule Karka, so it's possible de Rabban. The Gemara has a rule that the Tfanas of the Sukkah have to be Yechol Islamid Beruch Mitsuya. What does that mean? So that's a famous machlokes, the Chazon Ish and everybody else. Chazon Ish is the makel here. Once in a while, Chazon Ish is the makel over here. So everybody else always assumes, all the classical poskim assume, that if you have, let's say, a canvas sukkah, and the canvas is going to be flapping away when the wind is going to blow, it's going to be flapping in and out, in and out. So that's no good. So the problem is, where every sukkah waves a little bit, even a wooden sukkah also shakes a little bit in the wind. So every sukkah is no good. So you have to say there's a certain amount that we do allow the sukkah to wave. So how much? So you got to figure out a shiur. One tefach, three tefachim, something. So the achrayim try to give some shiur. But we assume that that's the nature of the din. That if the mechitza waves, that's not a good mechitza. And the Chazon Ish disagrees. This kind of a thing, when he disagrees, he writes, Mistimas divri haposkim mashma. It's absolutely not true. Mistimas divri haposkim mashma. And he goes ahead to say his kula, that Eini yechol alamba b'fnei ruach mitzuyah means if you have canvas walls for the sukkah, and if you'll have a wind, they're not tied down on the bottom. So if you have a wind, it'll pick up the canvas wall, and the canvas will not go down within to be talking to the ground. So when the canvas is not, when the tfanas are, if you have a mechitza tluya, if the tfanas of the sukkah, the mechitza is for Shabbos purposes, are not reaching within to be talking to the ground, so the machlekes hatanoim, we pass the machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnah sukkah, in the Mishnah in Shabbos, we pass them, it's no good. Mechitza tluya is not a mechitza, not for Shabbos and not for sukkah. So that's what the Chazon Ish says, mechitza sheinu yechol lamed beruach mitzuya. If a ruach mitzuya will come and the canvas will flip up, and it won't have a heksher sukkah, so even when it's down, the wind is not blowing, it's also no good. But let's say have a mechitza, as much as it's going to wave, it'll wave, it'll be over here. A wave, the wind will blow, be over here. Wherever the wind is going to blow, it's still going to have a heksher sukkah. So what do I care that the whole sukkah is shaking back and forth? Wherever it's going to be shaking, it has a heksher sukkah, so that's good. So the Chazon Ish is a big makel on this. The other, it's not true what he writes, Mislim is Divya Poskim Mashma. All the Poskim, all the recent Poskim, the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev, and the Aruch HaShulchan, many others, all the classical Poskim, they all say it's no good. The Chazon Ish has this Chiddush. In the Israeli army, they're makel like the Chazon Ish. A lot of times when a group of soldiers will come to a base, soon before Shabbos, they have to have an Erev in order to carry. So how do you go make an Erev, go start banging in poles and strings? It'll take you a couple of hours. It's soon going to be Shabbos. So they have gigantic nets that they use to trap human beings. So they take a net and they'll take it around the furthest tree. They'll schlep the net from one tree to the other tree to the other tree around the whole army base. And even though when the wind blows, the net is going to be bellowing in like this or bellowing out like that. And it has big holes. The net is full of holes, but everything is lovered. Everything is lovered to each other. So according to the Chazon Ish, it's a good mechitza, even though the mechitza is waving back and forth. Here it's four feet apart. Here it's waving over here, another 2 minutes going to be waving over here, back and forth. Chazon Ish says, so what? As much as it bellows in and out, it still reaches the floor, and it still has a shear, it's always 10 tefachim tall. So he holds that that's good.
In a lot of canvas sukkahs now, they give you like a strip, like a few strips that you put around like the bottom 10 tefachim.
Lovewood.
Right, lovely, and then that's
going to
be, I guess, minimum. Is that for the other
person,
not like the Chazon Ish?
Right, that's to satisfy the classical person, not like the Chazon Ish, right. The Mishnah says that the schach has to be within three tefachim to the tefanis. Sometimes the balabata make a sukkah, and they have a gigantic sukkah so big, but in a building here in the Washington Heights, They don't have so many people eating in the sukkah, so they don't have to have schach all over. So they'll only put schach in the middle part where everyone's going to sit. And near the walls, they don't need schach. Who's going to sit near the walls? So the Mishnah says the whole sukkah is no good. The schach has to be within lavud to the walls. Otherwise, the schach is not mitzurif to the walls. The walls have to be lavud within each other. The walls have to be lavud to the ground. That's how we pass. And mechitza tluya is not acceptable. Machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah, and sukkah and Shabbat, we pass is no good in both. Sukkah tluya is mechitza tluya is no good. So the tfanas of the sukkah have to reach within 3 tvachim to the ground. Have to be within 3 tvachim to each other when you're turning the corner. And the schach has to be within 3 tvachim to the tfanis. Then the schach has to be within 3 tvachim to itself also. Let's say I have a sukkah that only has 3 walls. I don't have 4 walls. Okay. Let's have a sukkah that only has 3 walls, U-shape. And I have a big crack in the schach that goes the whole length of the schach. The whole length of the schach in such a way that the sukkah is split into 2 different sukkahs. The schach has to be lovered to itself. Has to be, all the schach has to be within 3 tvachim each other. Otherwise, it's considered separate. So you may have a U-shape like this and a crack in the middle. So have a room this size. But I have one sukkah only has these 2 walls. The other sukkah only has these 2 walls. It's not combined together to constitute one sukkah with 3 walls. So they're both no good. They're both sukkahs are no good. So you have to have that the 2 units of this schach, let's say you have 2 mats, one mat over here, one mat over here, and a big gap in the middle. So you have to make sure that the gap is not 3 tvachim or more. If the gap is going to be 3 tvachim or more, there's no lavud. So that splits the sukkah into 2, and each sukkah doesn't have 3 tvachim. It only has 2 tvachim. It doesn't have 3. The Gemara happens to have a chumra that even if it's within 3 tvachim to each other, and it is lavud, and the whole sukkah is good, ein yishenim tachtav. You can't sit under the crack, even though lavud does apply, and the sukkah is kosher, but you're not yet in the mitzvah if you sit under the lavud. So Tosafot asks the kasha, so how is anybody ever yet in the mitzvah? Every sukkah has holes in it. Every sukkah has to have holes. The chatchila, the Mishnah implies that the sukkah should have holes and you should see the stars. Mishnah says, even if it's so thick, the schach is so thick that you can't see the stars, but the yevid it's also kosher. The chatchila should be able to see the stars, but the yevid it's still good. Tosafot adds on, the Rishonim, we don't have this Tosafot on the Gemara. The Rishonim add on the name of Tosafot. What if you have so much schach that when it rains, it doesn't even rain in? So then Tosafot says that's even possible, but yeah, that's not a sukkah. That not only has nothing to do with diras keva, diras ara. Even if you have the sukkah, it has to be diras keva, but it can't be base or shalkola shanakula. It has to be sukkah, it has to be something different. So if you can't even rain in, Tosafot says that's by definition, that's not called asuya ki ilchos. Have to be able to rain in. So normally a sukkah has holes all over the place to be able to see the stars. So Tosafot asks the kasha, if the din is that lavud within 3 tachim is lavud, but still ein yishenim tachtav, you can't sit under it. So how do you ever sit under any sukkah? Every sukkah you have holes on top. So Tosafot says, no, this din ein yishenim tachtav is only if it's a crack that's al pnei kulo. The holes are not the whole length of the sukkah. There's a hole here, another hole here, another hole here. The holes all over the place. A million holes on top where you're sitting, but it's not one aver al pnei kulo. But if you have aver al pnei kulo, Then the Gemara says, "Ein yishenim tachtav." You're not allowed to sit under that part of the sukkah. That's what many years ago, 40 years ago, Rav David Feinstein published the Dvar Torah about Hilchas Sukkah. So he wrote that years ago, a lot of people used to use bamboo or they used to use slats, and they were all lined up like soldiers, all the slats, and there were cracks from one end of the sukkah to the other end. So Tosafot says, "Ein yishenim tachtav." If it's aver that's holach al pnei kulo, even though every crack is much less than lavud, each one is less than an inch. Of course, it's less than 3 tvachim. But still, if you have aver al pnei kulo, so the din is ein yishenim tachtav. So he just said, when you have slats like that, you should always be careful to put one slat in the opposite direction, so it'll crack the aver that's holach al pnei kulo. So it'll only be half of the sukkah. So then the din is ein yishenim tachtav. How much schach do you have to have? So the Mishnah says you have to have tzilosa meruba mechamosa. So the Gemara in the second parak in Sukkah raises an issue sometimes when the sun is, if you have cracks on top, so if the schach is very high, 20 amps high is very, very high. I never saw such a sukkah, 20 amps. There are tall sukkahs, but not 20 amps.
Bells are not very nice.
Really?
Very
yeah, but it's less than 20 amps. Yeah. Ramaz, Rabbi Luxnim, was very concerned. So he showed me this sukkah. It's nowhere near 20 amps. It's 20 feet. But 20 feet is not 20 amps. Yeah.
I have a sukkah display in Israel with a sukkah for 20 amps.
Really?
It's like a...
Very, yeah. It's very rare to have a sukkah l'mala mensimah. So the Gemara raises a question, when the sun is going to shine in, if you have cracks on top and the schach is very high, the sun rays can widen out, so maybe that on the floor where you're sitting, there's absolutely no shade whatsoever. It could be you're sitting in the sun the whole time. So what's the din? Do you measure tzilos and merubei chamos on the floor? Do you measure it on the schach? So the Gemara gives an answer. A contradiction, one Mishnah, another Mishnah, the Gemara gives an answer. So there's a problematic Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan says you measure on the ground. And it's classically assumed not like the Orach HaShulchan. People point out that that's a difficult Orach HaShulchan. We don't follow that. It's measured on the schach. If you take the material of the schach, you climb up to the 19th Amadeh, and you see that in the schach, on the level of the schach, it's Oymed Beru Balapur. So then you can ignore the fact that the sun is shining on the bottom. It doesn't pose any problems. The din is that it's measured by the schach, not by the ground. There is a din of doifen akuma, that's important to know. Let's say you have a sukkah, and you have, a lot of people have a cover on top of the sukkah. So in case it rains, it won't rain in to ruin everything. So let's say you have a gigantic sukkah, but only five people are eating in the sukkah. So what, do you have to remove the whole cover from the whole sukkah? You only remove where those five people are eating. Yeah, but sometimes you'll only remove part of the cover so you don't have three tefanas. Let's say you have three tefanas U-shaped, and they're going to sit by the opening of the sukkah. They're only going to roll back that part of the lid on top of the shlak or the plastic cover, whatever, enough for them to sit. So you only have two tefanas on either side. The third daifin is all the way over here. And you have the schach puzzle on top of the schach kosher, so that part of the sukkah is no good. So there is a din, the Mishnayos have a din, that daifin akuma. If you have schach puzzle in the middle of your sukkah, dal ramas or more, so that's, let's say you have a U-shaped sukkah, everything is schach kosher, but you have schach puzzle in the middle. U-shaped like this, you have schach puzzle in the middle, four tefachim is worth. So four tefachim of schach puzzle splits up the sukkah into two, and each side of the sukkah doesn't have tefanis. This only has two tefanis, this only has two. If you have less than four tefachim, so it doesn't split it up, the sukkah is still kosher. But what happens if the schach puzzle is not bent, so the schach puzzle is menatzah? Have a U-shaped sukkah, and we're only rolling off the schach from the opening of the sukkah, and where the third daifin is, we're leaving the schach puzzle there. So the Gemara says, if the schach puzzle is minatzad, then there's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that if this puzzle of schach extends for less than dalet amos, I declare that as doifen akuma. Even the kosher schach is considered puzzle schach, because it has the puzzle schach on top of it. You can't sit over there. So if that distance, if the gap from the third wall, the U-shape, from the third wall on the bottom bar, if the distance from that wall till the place where the sukkah begins to become kosher is less than dalet amos, I declare doifen akuma. I declare as if the doifen goes up and the doifen bends in, and all of the pasul haschach is considered part of the doifen. And then the kosher haschach is over there. So I have my third wall. I have the two walls over there at the tip of the U. And the third wall is visualized as if it moves in. But if the gap, if the distance between the third wall and the schach kosher is more than dalet amos or more, so then you no longer apply doifen akuma. So you gotta check this out. Sometimes in the Ritzi hotels in Eretz Yisrael, the sukkahs are puzzle. A lot of the sukkahs in Eretz Yisrael where they sell the pizza shops and so on, I think most of them are puzzle. There's mamash no schach. There's nothing. The schach. Everything is puzzle. Just because someone gives a hashgach on the pizza doesn't mean that the sukkah that they tell you to eat the pizza in is also kosher. The hashgach doesn't go on the sukkah. And the same thing in the hotels. The hashgach on the hotel only means the food is kosher. Doesn't necessarily mean that the sukkah is kosher. So you have to check it out in advance. There is a special inyan to have noye sukkah, to beautify the sukkah. It's because of the general din of hida mitzvah, zekele v'anveyu, and it has a particular added feature by a sukkah that the Gemara says you have to have. Basukah's teshuv, shivas yamim teshuv kein toduru. So just like people don't live in a bare apartment, they don't have anything hanging on the walls, they just have the concrete walls. No, they paint the walls, they put up pictures, they put up curtains, put up nice chandeliers, fixtures, they have it nice. So too in the sukkah, when you beautify the sukkah, in addition to being the general, the fulfillment of the general din of hida mitzvah, it's an added hida within teshuv kein toduru. The Gemara says you have to, all achilas keva have to be in the sukkah. Achilas aroi is permissible chutz l'sukkah. There were tanaim who ate achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah, and then there were other tanaim who would be medakrik as amidas chasidus, not even to drink water chutz l'sukkah, not even to eat fruits chutz l'sukkah. And the Mishnah records the both practices to teach you that if someone wants to be a machma not to drink water chutz l'sukkah, you shouldn't say he's foolish. No, some Tanoim did that, and that's Midas Chasidus. And even if a person is a big Tana, and he's not Bedaktik, whatever is Achilas Aroi, Li Chutz L'Sukkah, so some Tanoim did like that, so whatever a person does is acceptable. It is a Midas Chasidus, but one is not Mukhiv to observe that Midas Chasidus, even if he's a Tana, even if he's a Chasidus Rebbe, whichever is higher, not Mukhiv to observe the Midas Chasidus. Shinas Aroi, the Gemara says, is not allowed chutz l'sukkah. The Gemara says, why should there be a difference between achilas aroi and shinas aroi? The Gemara has a whole discussion that sometimes a person is exhausted, he's collapsing from exhaustion, and then he just takes a nap for 5-10 minutes, and he's already, he perks up, and he regains his koichos. So it's hard to tell. Achilas aroi, we know what it is. And shinas aroi sometimes turns out to be a shinas kero. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk Teishu Kein Toduru that if one is mitzdair, he's potam and asukah. So in Shulchan Aruch they have two kinds of mitzdair. One mitzdair is he's sitting in the sukkah and it's freezing, or it's pouring. And if he would be sitting in his house and it would be pouring or freezing, he would go eat in the bedroom. Just because this is the dining room, he's not that much of a yeket that you always have to eat in the dining room. They're freezing. There's no steam over here. And somewhere else, another room in the apartment, there is things. So he'll eat in the bedroom. He'll eat in another room. If it's freezing, well, it's raining, he's not going to eat here. So that's one kind of mitzvah, potam and asukah. So that says, he wants to do a midas chasidus, wants to eat in the sukkah anyway, so it says that's a bracha levatol. If you say a bracha when it's raining or freezing, that's a bracha levatol, you're not yet seeing anything. Then there's another kind of mitzvah, potam and asukah. Let's say we prepared everything in my sukkah, and then we lit the candles, and the wind blew out the candles. So I'm going to sit in the dark. So that's mitzvah potam and asukah. But I can walk to the next. I can walk to the neighbor's sukkah. The neighbor's sukkah is an hour walk. There are no religious Jews for an hour. I can walk to the neighbor's sukkah, but I'll have to walk there an hour and walk back an hour, and then I'll be embarrassed and I'll have to ask him, can I please eat some of your food? But I'm going to schlep all of my food for an hour to carry the food over there. Let's say Shabbos. I can't even carry the food. So that's also called mitzdar potam and asukah. So Rabbi Kivega says, but if he does walk to the neighbor's sukkah for an hour, at least at the time that he's sitting in his sukkah, then he's not being mitzdar. So then he's potter from the tirche. But if he goes ahead and he does the tirche, then he has the kima mitzvah, he does sebra. The first night of sukkah is 2 days in Tesis, where the mitzdar potam and asukah. If it's pouring the first night of sukkah, second night of sukkah is derabbanan. So that's machlekes. So you have to ask a local Orthodox rabbi what to do. Okay, usually the bracha on the mitzvah is always recited over l'asiyosam. So the Rambam writes that the bracha on the sukkah, when you say kiddush, the kiddush should be recited standing up. The Rambam implies that we always say kiddush Shabbos Yontov in a sitting position, except for the first night, the first 2 nights of sukkahs, because you want to say leisha basukkah, and the bracha should be recited over l'asiyosam. So you say the kiddush in a standing position. So the Rosh quotes that Rambam, and he makes fun of it. He says, what do you mean? Leisha basukah means to sit in the sukkah. He says, Vanesha bikodesh yomim rabim. He says, they were sitting in Kodesh. They camped in Kodesh. They were walking. They were riding their bicycles. They were talking. They were sitting. They were sleeping. It wasn't Vanesha. It doesn't mean Vanesha bahara boimam babala. It means it was sitting. Eisha doesn't, it means lehisakev. So the Rosh holds that you can say kid is sitting down on sukkahs also. And it's also loiva lasiyosa. it's before he stays for a long time in the sukkah. If you want to really do Eibalasiyasa, maybe you should say the Baruch Leishma sukkah before you walk into the sukkah. But we don't do that. That's over the Yoyva. So you say you sit down. Doesn't make a difference standing, sitting, the Rosh. The same thing. You sit. Those who sit all year long, the Rosh Tanis, they can sit on sukkahs also. Okay. Tomorrow we'll learn the Dinam of Dalam Minim. Okay.